Chapter 27. The Wedding. Sandra felt a shiver of excitement as she arrived at the Bryants' home on a very special Saturday afternoon in July. So many cars were lined up all along the winding driveway that she had to park on the road. Stepping out of the now almost reliable Escort in a new pink dress, Sandra walked eagerly down the shady driveway lined with tall, dense evergreens. As always, when she rounded the last corner, the glossy blue expanse of the ocean came instantly into view. More than ever before, the scene took her breath away. It was all so beautiful. A white wedding tent fluttered daintily in the moist, salty breeze, stretching out over a collection of fancy little tables, impeccably set for dinner. On a flat, uniform stretch of the lawn, nearly all the rows of white plastic chairs were filled with finely dressed guests. Rainbow-coloured flower gardens surrounded the scene, running in gentle curves towards the white Victorian gazebo. Scanning that very gazebo, which had the most attractive gardens of all, Sandra looked for James. He had stayed overnight at his family's house, and she imagined he would be with them now. As happy as she was that James had decided to be in the wedding, Sandra felt a little overwhelmed by all the people that she didn't know. It would have been nice to have had his company today, she thought, still looking for James, but I'm glad he's there for Peter. Up near the front, a tall, lean figure in a black suit waved discreetly, and Sandra recognized her friend. James was standing with his brothers near the gazebo, where the vows were to be given. She waved back with a smile. Thomas and Alan stood with James and were easy to recognize as well. However, the fellow with the rugged features and curly auburn ponytail was someone new. That must be Peter's friend from Australia, she decided. I think his name is Jono. She looked around for an empty seat. Music was playing from large speakers set up on the lawn, beautiful piano music that she'd never heard before. Derek stepped towards her, dressed in a black suit, just like the others. The suit was an astonishing contrast to his usual tattered appearance. His wild, curly hair had been trimmed short, and he'd been shaved closely that morning. "Where would you like to sit?" he asked pleasantly. "I'm ushering people in." "Oh, so that's what they do at weddings," Sandra realized. "I'm glad he reached me before I seated myself. You actually look like a proper gentleman this morning," she teased. With a quiet laugh, Derek took her arm. "Boss's orders," he said. "Are there any places besides someone that I know?" "Probably not," he replied, "but I'll try to find someone you'll get on with." A few rows up, Derek stopped. "See that lady with the white hat?" he whispered. "She's in the third row." When Sandra nodded, he said, "That's Cara Lovell, Thomas's mother. There's a seat beside her. I'm sure you'll enjoy her company." Sandra allowed Derek to lead her to the third row, and then she slid in beside Cara. The older woman turned and smiled amiably. She introduced herself, and Sandra did the same. "So how are you connected to Peter and Jessica?" Cara inquired in a friendly fashion. With Derek's assurance that she would like this lady, Sandra felt she could talk freely. She told her about the first talk she'd heard on Israel and world events, the classes she had been having with Jess, and her friendship with James. This time she didn't identify herself as James's house cleaner, just simply a good friend. As the melodious music played on and the guests continued to arrive, Cara told Sandra of her connections. With growing fascination, Sandra listened as Cara explained how she'd first met Peter as the romantic interest of her teenage daughter and how Verity's untimely death had sent Peter into a tailspin. Remembering many of the details from her talks with Peter and Jessica, Sandra was interested in Cara's perspective. "Seeing this relationship with Jessica blossom has had a healing effect on me," Cara admitted. "Of course, there's a certain amount of sadness, as I know Peter would have been a wonderful husband to Verity," she smiled regretfully, "and I would have loved to have been his mother-in-law. But his pain has always made mine worse, and now I can just see he is so very happy again. Jessica will look after him well. Verity desperately wanted Peter to be loved and cared for." "He and Jess are very happy together," Sandra agreed. She couldn't imagine Peter with anyone else. Looking up to the front where Peter stood with his groomsmen, Sandra met the eyes, the sincere, kind eyes of the tall man beside Andrew, and smiled. She felt as though she would never stop smiling. The tall, wonderful man gazed steadily back, and Cara noticed. "Is there someone special in your life?" she inquired, her eyes twinkling. Sandra nodded with a slight blush. "Someone who is becoming more and more special every day." The conversation might have continued for hours, but a new piece of music began. It was a processional piece, and everyone began turning to look behind. Jessica was coming across the lawn, walking slowly, following her bridesmaids and holding on to her father's arm. Radiant in the afternoon sun, Jessica's simple white dress flowed around her. Purple hydrangeas filled the bouquet she held in her arms, matching the colour of her bridesmaids. Behind the fine veil trimmed with white ribbon, Jessica's hair was pulled back into a loose knot. Stray curls hung softly down to her shoulders. "She looks so beautiful," Sandra sighed happily. As Jess approached closer, however, Sandra noticed that tears were streaming down her face, and she was dabbing them away with a tissue. They could only be tears of joy. Her eyes were locked with Peter's and her smile didn't waver. It was a lovely ceremony, and Sandra took it all in, fresh with wonder. So many allusions were made to the greater marriage to come between Christ and his bride. Sandra had never realized how elevated and symbolic a wedding can be. Reading from Ephesians chapter 5, Mr. Henderson, the older man giving the service, described Peter and Jessica's new roles in ways that related to Jesus and the believers. Just as Jesus had given his life to save those who would come to him, so Peter was to give himself for Jessica. Just as the believers were to submit to Jesus as their head and leader, so Jessica was to submit herself to Peter. It was another whole new way of thinking, and Sandra was impressed with the beauty of following such lofty ideals. Everyone was friendly as Sandra mingled around after the service. Pictures were being taken of the wedding party, and James seemed to be in most of them. She looked over to see the photographer arranging Andrew's 5 children in front of the rest of the family. Walking towards the refreshment table, she overheard a couple of Peter's friends from Australia. "Whoa, is he ever a different bloke now?" a young, handsomely dressed woman was saying to another man. "All this stuff about the Bible and Jesus. Jessica's done one heck of a number on him." "What does Jono think of it all?" the other man chuckled, with the same strong Australian accent. "He thinks it's a joke," she laughed. "But he says he always thought Peter was rather strange. He never cursed or swore, and he wouldn't rip anyone off, not even the agros. I hear his business isn't going so well back home." "We're lost without him," the woman laughed. "Sure, he trained his mates to cut lawns and water gardens, and Jono's quite handy with the pruner, but no one has Peter's vision. I do the accounting, and I can tell you we used to make a good profit, but we've lost a third of our customers, and we're slipping into the red." "And that's just from losing Peter?" "The drought hasn't helped any. With the Murray drying up and all the water restrictions, there's not the same demand for elaborate gardens." The conversation carried on, but Sandra decided to take a tray of drinks to the wedding party. They were out in the hot sun and hadn't had a refreshment break. And besides, it was an opportunity to have a little visit with everyone. She loaded up a tray and walked out to the gardens as the twins came running in the opposite direction. "Their pictures must be over," Sandra thought to herself, watching them race towards the punch bowl. James was posing with the rest of his siblings and their partners in front of the large pines. Peter and Jessica were in the middle, smiling happily. Peter's arms were wrapped around his new wife, looking so pretty in her white organza dress. Mrs. Bryant was on Jessica's side and Mr. Bryant on the other. Andrew and Lisa were together next to Mr. Bryant, and James stood alone by his mum. "That's good," the photographer called out. "Grandparents next." "Ah, just what we need," James exclaimed as Sandra drew close. Taking the cups from the tray, he handed out the drinks to everyone. They all expressed their appreciation to Sandra. James took the last one for himself. "Thanks, beautiful," he said with a grin. The comment wasn't made privately, and Sandra wasn't the only one who looked up in surprise. He smiled at her. "I like the dress. You look great." All eyes turned on Sandra, and she met Jessica's astonished gaze. She could feel her face turn as pink as her dress. "Hey," James said to Peter, "mind if we do another picture with Sandra in it?" Everyone agreed readily, although in a baffled and bemused fashion. James drew Sandra in beside him. "I'm being included in an official family photo," she thought wonderingly, trying to remember to smile and hide her amazement. "Is there something you should be telling us, man?" Andrew called out, trying to keep his smile intact. The photographer snapped a few shots and then called for grandparents only. "The picture just needed a little balancing," James grinned as they relaxed the pose and moved out of the way. "I was the only guy there without a pretty girl beside him." Andrew raised his eyebrows and looked from his brother to Sandra and back. Everyone in the family was looking over, but James wasn't giving anything away. Stepping off to the side with Sandra, James watched Peter and Jess take a picture with the only grandparent there, Beth's mum. "Hey, I hope I didn't embarrass you just now," James whispered. "That was a little impulsive. I'm sorry. Call it the pink dress phenomenon." "I don't mind," Sandra smiled, "as long as I get a copy of that picture." Most certainly, he grinned. They watched the photographer take a few close-ups of Peter and Jessica alone, and then James said quietly, I'm glad I'm here, Sandra. I'm thankful you've helped me to remember how important my family is to me. But I feel bad you're hanging out by yourself. The people you know best are all in the wedding party. That's okay, she said, grateful for his concern. You're where you need to be. But, she added hesitantly, it would be nice to have your company. Reaching over, James squeezed her hand quickly and smiled. After we clean up tonight, he said, I'll have time to show you around this place. In fact, he said, why don't you stay over? You can have the guest room. I'm happy with the couch downstairs. Sandra considered the offer. She didn't have any extra clothes, but it was a welcome idea, especially if it meant time to talk things over. I can always zip over to the manor in the morning, she thought, and get changed for the Sunday service. Okay, she said. I'd love to. Great. James was being called for the next picture, so Sandra collected the glasses onto the tray and took them back to the marquee. Her head was in a whirl, and her heart was beating quickly. Sandra wandered around for the next hour, chatting to various people she met and helping herself to the lovely spread of fruit and goodies in the tent. It wasn't until the roast beef dinner was over that she had another chance to visit with James. He strolled over to the table where she sat chatting with some of Jessica's friends from the community and pulled up an empty chair to sit down. Sandra looked up with surprise. Formalities are over, he shrugged. It's time for the speeches. Sandra glanced towards the head table to see that Purity had moved to sit beside her husband, Thomas, and Jono had left to sit with his girlfriend. Peter caught Sandra's eye, winked, and gave her a thumbs up. There was so much noise and happy chatter in the marquee that James had slipped over to Sandra's table without a whole lot of notice. But a minute later, when the master of ceremonies stood up to announce that it was time for the speeches to begin, James's nieces suddenly noticed where their uncle was sitting. As Thomas, the best man, walked up to the microphone, Sandra could see excited whispers being traded back and forth between the girls. The eldest even took out her camera and focused it towards Sandra and James. The paparazzi have discovered us, James remarked wryly. She agreed, feeling colour creep into her face again. Most eligible bachelor sitting beside unknown house cleaner. James laughed quietly and squeezed her arm. No, he said, looking down at her warmly. Despairing bachelor falls for beautiful, top chef, five-star academy teacher. Sandra liked James's new headline much better than her own and laughed appreciatively. James really does care, she marvelled. Thomas's speech was funny, sad, and serious. He talked about his friendship with Peter in their teen years, relayed a few humorous stories, and talked about the changes they had both made. He finished off recalling that he'd asked Peter 2 years earlier what he was looking for in a girl, and that Peter had replied, "Someone gorgeous and fun, I guess." There was a ripple of laughter around the room, and leaning back in his chair with his arm around Jessica, Peter grinned. "He's added a lot to the list since then," Thomas smiled. "Yes, he has found someone gorgeous and fun, but when I asked Peter last night what was important to him, he had far different priorities. Since he's met Jessica, he's come to value honesty, kindness, loyalty, godliness, and someone who wants to pull him forward, not drag him back." Picking up his notes, Thomas looked over towards the new bride and groom. "I can't express how happy I am for both of you," he said. Peter stood up, pulled a laughing Jess to her feet, and gave her a kiss. With his best wishes and a toast to the new couple, Thomas walked over to embrace them both before he sat down. In the lull between speeches, one of the twins found his way over to James. Sandra wasn't sure which one it was. They looked so much alike. "Can I sit with you?" he pleaded. James laughed. There weren't any spare seats nearby. Without waiting for a reply, the boy settled in James's lap. "How do you make those stunt planes again?" he asked his uncle, producing a wrinkled name card from his pocket. "This is going to be pretty small, Jake," James smiled, taking the rectangular card from his hand. "That's okay," Jake assured him. "I like 'em small." As Uncle James folded and shaped the small plane, Jake looked over at Sandra. "My dad says you're a teacher. Are you going to come to my school?" Sandra smiled and began to tell him about the new school she planned to be at. While she was describing the large dinosaur that stood outside the front door, Zack slipped over with a chair in tow and placed it beside her. The two boys wanted to hear all about the little private school with its scientific equipment and special arts program. James had just finished the stunt plane when Mr. Bryant stood up to welcome Jessica into their family. "Just wait, guys," James said, stopping them from running off. "You'll have to test fly your mosquito plane later. Grandpa is giving his speech." Mr. Bright told everyone how happy they were that Peter had found such a lovely young lady. He talked about the gradual changes he had noticed in Peter for good, and then Mr. Bryant thanked the Simons for all they had done for his family, and especially his son. Jessica's father gave the next speech, which was surprisingly emotional, expressing how close they had all become to Peter over the years. Craig thanked Mr. and Mrs. Bright for raising such a kind-hearted and responsible young man, and thanked God for bringing Peter into their family. Jake and Zach were getting rather restless. As soon as Craig sat down, James told the boys they could run outside the marquee and try out their plane. "Just keep it quiet, guys," he cautioned. Peter and Jessica were the last to take the stand and thanked the audience for coming. They ran through an extensive list appreciatively, as Sandra realized with astonishment how many people had been involved in cooking food, designing the invitation, sewing dresses, accommodating out-of-province guests, and so much more. Then Peter thanked Jessica's parents for taking him in as one of their own, and entrusting him with their beloved daughter. "I've always wanted to call you Mum and Dad," he laughed, "and today it's official. That's who you'll be to me from now on." Turning to his wife, he took her hand and said, "I thank God every day for you, Jess. You've made me whole and brought laughter and happiness back into my life. I didn't know 12 years ago that the cutest little girl with the big blue eyes would one day stand tall beside me." Peter smiled sadly, recalling the painful memory. "When my heart was breaking at the funeral, and I thought it would never be repaired," he told the audience, and everyone knew exactly which funeral he meant, "this little girl came over and slipped her hand into mine. She only promised to be my little sister back then." Peter laughed with a catch in his voice, as he and Jess smiled adoringly at each other. "But here you are, Jessica, and here I am, and we're together, man and wife. All I can do is praise God for his grace and mercy." Sweeping Jessica up in his arms, Peter gave her the biggest kiss of the evening, to the delight of the audience, who clapped and whistled in appreciation. "Jess did that?" Sandra whispered in surprise to James once the tent was quiet again. She had never heard this part of the story. "That's so sweet," James nodded. "She was just a pipsqueak then," he whispered back. Turning serious again, Peter thanked each of his groomsmen for the important part they had played in his life. Thomas had been his conscience, his support, and a friend whom he credited with bringing him back to God. Jono had been a good mate when times were tough, and his right-hand man while their new business was being developed. "Those were the days," Peter recalled, "when I simply needed to chill out and let time heal the wounds. Thanks for giving me the space to do so," he smiled. Andrew had been a brother he had always highly respected, and always would in the future. Alan had been like a younger brother while Peter had stayed at the Simons, and a very good friend. And then Peter spoke about his fifth groomsman. "We all have someone in our life that we grow up with," he began. "Someone who we play with and fight with and learn to love as we develop and grow. That person for me has always been my brother James from as early as I can remember. He might remember life without me, and perhaps he even enjoyed more attention before I came along, but I can't remember life without him. Even though James left for Nova Scotia when I was just 15, we always kept in touch. Quite regularly, in fact, considering my track record, and we always knew we were there for each other." There was a pause in Peter's speech, and Sandra could tell he was trying to compose himself. "For the most part, James was always a good listener," Peter relayed, his voice unsteady. "Very kind and very generous, and he's taught me many things." Sandra looked up at James with pride, but his eyes were transfixed on his brother's, and his face unreadable. "Today wouldn't have been right without him," Peter continued emotionally, looking directly at his brother. "I'm not sure how you wrangled yourself out of that convention, but I just want to thank you." Peter choked up and struggled to say the last words. For being here." Peter paused with his hand over his eyes. Holding onto his arm, Jessica looked up at her new husband tenderly and passed him a tissue. Sandra whispered, "I think he needs you." James looked down at her uncertainly, and Sandra nodded encouragement. "He needs a hug," she said quietly. Getting up from his chair, James strode awkwardly up to the front. Jessica stepped back smiling as Peter embraced his brother warmly. They stood there for a minute or more, while James patted Peter's back and Peter clung to him tightly. Sandra looked over at James's mum and dad. They were struggling with emotion themselves, and his mother was wiping her eyes with a handkerchief. When James returned to his seat, looking rather moved by the experience, Sandra looked up with admiration. "I'm proud of you," she said. "I know that wasn't easy." "It's been a long time," James admitted quietly, "and Pete and I still have a long way to go, But thanks. Thanks for your help. When the speeches were over, Andrew's youngest daughter pranced over with her camera in hand. You should see all the pictures Sadie took of you, she told James and Sandra. They're beautiful. Sandra smiled and reached over to draw the little girl closer. And what is your name, cutie? She asked. I'm Esther, the child replied, fumbling with the buttons on her camera. She held it up so that James and Sandra could see. There are 25 pictures of you. James laughed and Sandra giggled, and they bent their heads close together to look at the screen. Esther displayed them with great pride, one by one. Most of the pictures were almost identical, but one was extra special. James was looking down at Sandra with a look of loving amusement. Sandra was looking up at him gratefully. I'd love a copy of that one, Sandra said to Esther. Please, pretty please? Me too, said James. He took a $5 bill out of his pocket. Do you think you could get us both one? You can keep the change. Esther looked delighted to be asked and readily pocketed the money. Really? I can keep the change? James nodded with a smile. I'll get them for you as soon as Mum takes me to the Atlantic Superstore. I think I took that picture. She looked at it more carefully and then screwed up her cute little face. Oh, no, maybe Sadie did. As abruptly as she'd come, Esther dashed back to tell her sister. Sandra could see a conference quickly take place over who had taken the winning picture. James brought Sandra over to talk with his parents. He let them know that he was giving up the guest room that night so that she could stay over. They were both happy for Sandra to do so. Mrs. Bryant commented on how much James raved about Sandra's cooking, and Mr. Bryant said he'd be more than happy to try a little of that cooking himself. It's not that I would question my son's culinary discernment, Mr. Bryant grinned, his eyes twinkling brightly. It's quite the contrary. I'm looking forward to a chance to validate the high ratings. Sandra laughed. I like him, she thought. He's kind and funny, like James. Tell you what, Dad, James smiled with a wink in Sandra's direction. I'd like to bring Sandra over and show her around the lodge some weekend. If you'd like to invite us for dinner, I'm sure you could talk Sandra into making dessert. I'd be more than happy to, Sandra agreed. We'd love to have you come for dinner, Mrs. Bryant smiled. She suddenly remembered something. Oh, Sandra, she said, fumbling in her purse, Peter gave me a CD to give to you today. He didn't think he would remember at the wedding, but he said he promised to give it to you. Producing the small case from her large black purse, Mrs. Bryant handed it to her. Oh, thank you, Sandra said with enthusiasm. She slipped the CD of music into her handbag. After Peter and Jessica had cut the cake, they handed out all the pieces, saying goodbye to everyone along the way. When Jessica handed Sandra a piece of the cake, she leaned close and whispered in her ear. Having you included in that family photo was a most pleasant surprise. The two friends looked at each other with laughing eyes and embraced. When Peter and Jess had given out all the cake, they stood together on the stone path and announced they had a parting song to sing. Thomas gave them the portable microphone and a karaoke machine provided the accompaniment. With the ocean waves crashing in behind them and a colourful sky in front, they joined hands and sang the most beautiful wedding song Sandra had ever heard. Peter began the song with a verse that thanked God for the wonderful wife he'd been provided. Then Jess sang the second verse as the bride to her husband, choking up with emotion a couple of times. They sang the third part together. As we wait Messiah's reign, when we, by God's grace, will form that glorious train of faithful ones joined to his Son, we must strive to be righteous as his chosen ones, a faithful bride we pray he'll find, a multitude of faithful servants undefiled, in garments white, stars shining bright, and in immortal glory shine with everlasting life, in one mind, as man and wife. It tied in so much with what had been said during the ceremony, and left everyone with tears in their eyes, even James. Amid a shower of grass seed and flower petals, which had been Alan's bright idea, Peter and Jess left in the car they had borrowed from his parents. A succession of firecrackers, which had been Jono's brilliant idea, went off behind them. Everyone waved goodbye until they were out of sight. Then it was time to clean up.